This is a podcast version of our YouTube video. Make sure to subscribe to Outspeedia on all platforms so you don't miss any content. Now on with the show. Hello guys and welcome to Otson Copa America. We have the fourth match day with us. We have Brazil, Colombia, and of course we have Leo Bachanian. How are you, Leo?
How are you? All good, a pleasure again to be for this new round of fixture for the Copa America.
And I guess you are very happy because Argentina played well and they won as well. So guys, leave a comment in the video, ask any question to our Latin American expert Leo. And remember, you will have the chance to win a £10 free bet with Novibet. And of course, if you like our videos, press the like button, subscribe to our channel and click on the bell to get all the notifications. And just an advance, we have really good odds for this match day. I already saw some good bets that we can make. Let's see if Leo agrees with me, but the odds are higher. And during this Copa America, it's been a good idea actually betting for the underdogs, Leo, because as usually in the Latin American football, we are seeing a lot of surprises.
Yes, absolutely. For example, the Ecuador and Venezuela draw was one of them the other day, the win of Peru against Colombia. That one too was also another surprising result, taking into account how both teams were landing on that game. And well, actually, the first game for this fourth round of fixtures of the Copa America is Ecuador and Peru.
Exactly, Ecuador-Peru. And if we check the odds, actually, this is one bet that I really flagged, because Ecuador is favorite, odds 2.4, Peru, odds 3.3, and we just saw a victory some weeks ago from Peru over Ecuador in Quito in this Copa America. Peru, 3 points. They got a great victory against Colombia, 1-2. Peña and Germina scored in own goal. The first defeat, yes, was a 4-0 loss against Brazil, but they weren't that bad. We saw how Gareca's men, they are used to compete in this Copa America well. Remember that they played the final in their last edition. And Ecuador, Leo, they are not good in this round of fixtures. Also in the World Cup qualifiers before this Copa America, that draw against Venezuela, they were very unlucky, I would say, as well. They conceded the goal in the last minute. They lost 1-0 to Colombia. And their last game is against Brazil. So a defeat in this game means that they are saying goodbye to Copa America.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, it's a good point there, because I'm going to go, if you want, into the math, what they need, each of the teams, in terms of qualifying to the knockout stage. I mean, it goes like this. If the three wins, they will count 4 points and they will qualify for the quarterfinal, no matter what happened with their own match against Brazil in the last fixture, and no matter what happened between Peru and Venezuela, also playing in the last fixture. But if they lose tonight, they will be out unless a miracle happens with Brazil. For Peru, it's quite straightforward. A win or a draw will secure them a quarterfinal spot for Ricardo Gareca's men. So the three really need the 3 points tonight if they want to go through the knockout stages of this Copa America 2021. But it's not going to be easy. I mean, for Gustavo Alfaro's men, Edu, they are on a run of 4 games without winning, with 3 defeats and a draw. In Quito, the fans, the press are all asking the same question. What happened to Alfaro that he seems to have lost the north of the team? What happened, and the applause has been forgotten and replaced by some kind of strong criticism? For sure, there might be, there's not going to be a black or white answer, not the true as in football as in life is for sure in lies in between. But the problem when you look now at Alfaro's latest conferences is that the Argentinian, what I see is like he's been reluctant to provide convincing explanation on some of the three's shortfalls. For example, after the defeat in Quito against Peru on the road to Qatar, he was trying to explain the mistakes of the team that led to that 1-2, and he referred to extra footballing issues that until today have not had any sort of explanation. Or in the last 3 games, something that attracted attention in Ecuador is that he's been using some players which have not been playing lots of minutes in their clubs last season, and also at the beginning of his adventure with Ecuador. And another thing, another aspect more related to the what's happened in the football pitch. In the last three games, because if you want, we could take away the defeat against Brazil on the road to Qatar that started this run of four games without a win, is that they went from being that intense and effective team whose punches were all clear to the face of their opponents to being a team with the lack of ideas and a team that more often than not makes the wrong decisions in the final third. It's true, you mentioned that on Sunday with Venezuela, they deserved a little bit better. It's true that Alfaro's squad showed an improvement in terms of dominance, in terms of possession of the ball. They were determined in terms of like the attacking minded, but they also show again some doubts in defense. So they will need to improve a lot if they want to take something from this game. And when you look at the other side, the mood in Ricardo Gareca's camp is completely different after the win against Colombia. To be honest, I started to think about Peru's manager as a kind of like the violinist of the Titanic, you know? When everyone yeah, because when everyone is panicking, he's the face of tranquility, you know? Almost like saying, no worries, guys, it's just an iceberg, you know? If you listen to me, I will make sure we all having a drink with that ice in no time. Because when he was criticized after defeats with Argentina and Colombia, again, on the road to Qatar, at home, those defeats, he said that nothing changed the belief in his team, and they went to Quito, and they won, I just said before. Then, then they were crushed by Brazil in their debut. But he still, he mentioned, and we said in the last preview, that they were not being overrun by Brazil despite the 4-0. What happened next game? He goes and he takes the 3 points against Colombia. And everything is not just the mood is different in Gareca's camp. Everything is much more clear. Yesterday, I was following the Peru's papers, and Gareca repeat the same started 11 in training that he used against Colombia. And also, it seems to me that Ecuador is one of the Blanquiroja's favorite victims since Ricardo Gareca took command of Peru. With El Tigre as a manager, excuse me, they played 6 games against the 3. They lost 2, but they were friendlies. But then they won 3 out of 4 official matches. In 2016, the Copa America Centenario was a lively 2-2 draw. That same year, they faced each other on the road to Russia, and Peru won 2-1. And then also on the road to Russia, they won the reverse fixture in Quito 2-1, as they won this last one a couple of weeks ago. So even though, yes, the bookies are placing Ecuador Eduo as the favorite, if you ask me, I'm placing Peru as the favorite. I just mentioned these latest official matches that saw both teams scoring. So I will look for goals over 2.75 with the market pointing enthusiastically at 1.9. And I will also put my eyes on an Asian handicap of plus 0.75 for Ecuador with odds at 2 points.
Then let's go here for Peru. Of course, also our friends Ashley and Shuban, they are going for Peru. Another option, Peru draw no bet or Asian handicap 0 for Peru. Odds around 2.28. That means that if there is a draw, we get our money back. But for sure, the value is on Peru. Then we have a very good game, Brazil-Colombia. Colombia, we said they are getting better with the new coach. They were able to beat Ecuador, not convincingly. They were very unlucky against Venezuela. But then that defeat against Peru changed everything. For sure, they will qualify with 4 points to the next round. But then now it's a big test for Colombia. Leo, probably they will lose. But how they will lose against Brazil probably is very important for them to keep a face to this game. And especially because Brazil, they are in the way to thrash every single team. Remember, 4-0 to Peru, 3-0 for Venezuela. Neymar is in a show state of mind. Everyone is scoring in this Brazilian team. 6 consecutive victories without conceding. And the odds for Brazil, finally, they are not that low. 2.51. So if we think Brazil can hammer Colombia, we can get good odds if we go for Asian handicap for Brazil, actually.
Yes, absolutely. And in addition, that in the last six games, they haven't conceded a goal, Brazil. They have scored 14 themselves. And moreover, Edu Tite has achieved this while being able to rotate his squad. To have an idea, against Peru, he made six changes to the starting 11 compared to the victory against Venezuela. And anyway, Brazil dominated exactly in the same way. So tonight against Colombia, it is possible that the Brazilian coach will continue to distribute minutes. Actually, he has already used 21 out of the 24 players he has at his disposal. It's likely that we might be seeing Everton Ribeiro on the starting lineup for Brazil. He played a good minutes coming from the bench against Peru, and he was also playing the starting 11 in training yesterday, Everton Ribeiro. There is also a possibility of seeing Marquinhos and Casemiro as well, who didn't start against Peru, coming back into the starting 11, which tells you a lot, no, about the depth of the squad that Tite has at his disposal. But still, I believe this should be the toughest match for Brazil so far. Not only because with all the planets aligned, Colombia player by player is the strongest team after Brazil in Group B, but also because since that quarterfinal of the World Cup 2014, this game became a classico as well. We all remember that night in Fortaleza when Camilo Zuniga's knee impacted on the back of Neymar and left him without the semifinal and with a serious injury. But then the year after in the Copa America in Chile, the match ended in a Colombia win for 1-0, but also ended in a brawl with Neymar hitting Zuniga many times during the game and then headbutting even Jason Murillo, the goal scorer on that match at the final whistle. We will see some familiar faces on the pitch because it's likely that Alexandro will have to deal with Juan Cuadrado, his teammate in Juventus. Reinaldo Rueda has not yet found balance in attack and defense, as we have seen with Peru when they lost 1-2 in the last round of fixtures. There are some few fixed names like Ospina, Mina, Cuadrado, Cardona or Barrios, but the rest is still changing every match. Anyway, the main problem for Rueda is not his rotation, but the lack of goals, which is a paradox, as we have been talking in this Copa America, when you look at the strikers that they have at their disposal. Duban Zapata, Luis Muriel, Alfredo Morelos, Rafael Santos Borré, and Miguel Borja. It is clear to everyone who the favorite is. I will look at goals over three with the market at 2.1 and also an Asian handicap of minus 1.5 for Brazil at 1.6, or an Asian handicap of minus 1.75 still for Brazil at 2.1 is something I will be follow closely.
Yeah, Brazil to win for Asian handicap, as you mentioned, the simple victory is 1.53, or I will give another one, a win 2-0 for Brazil, odds 2.15, something that has happened actually in the last games for Brazil. It's also what we are tipping in the Euro for Italy, a team that is beating 2-0 every single team. Actually, seeing that good Brazil is, I'm looking forward to see Brazil-France, but we will have to wait to Qatar to see the best two national teams probably in the world at the moment playing each other. Brazil cruising in their Copa America. And we've analyzed now Group B, so let's move on to Group A, where Argentina is cruising with 7 points. Well, cruising. They are making the job, but they are not being very comfortable, let's say. But the first game we have is Bolivia-Uruguay. Uruguay was the last victim of Argentina. And no, sorry, they played with Chile, who was Paraguay. Uruguay, 1 point. They are in danger. Leo, we are not seeing the best of Uruguay. Luis Suarez at least came to the rescue with that goal score after a free kick. It was very funny seeing Luis Suarez fighting with Vidal in the corner to score that game. That goal was a classic Luis Suarez goal. So 1 point for Tavares men, and they faced the weakest team in the group, Bolivia. They lost 1-0 to Chile, but remember they had some chances in the second half. They lost 3-1 to Paraguay, and the odds are ridiculously low for Uruguay, 1.25. Bolivia's victory is 17.0. I don't know if you see here travel for Uruguay. Bolivia can keep it close because Uruguay, again, they are not playing good. Also in the qualifiers before this this tournament, they haven't won. Actually, they are winless in the last five games.
I will start with some positive news for Bolivia, for those who place any kind of hope that they could take something from this game. That good news is Marcelo Moreno Martins, the Triple M, Luis Jaquin and Henry Baca were able to join the group after they recovered from COVID-19. There are some reports that they won't start the match, but I am sure that Moreno Martins, the Bolivian goal scorer, will start at least the second half if he's not in the starting 11. The truth for Bolivia is that they will need to get something from this game if they want to keep the dream alive. The last group fixture is against Argentina. So Faria's team will need to put on a fight. They show in the second half against Chile that they could create chances in attack, Edu, but the red light is clear. If they defend the same way that they did in the first half with Chile, Suarez and Cavani would make them suffer. So which takes me to Uruguay. Tavares in the game against Chile, as you mentioned, he changed the tactical shape that he used in their debut with Argentina. He went from a 4-4-2 to 4-3-1-2. Of course, a tactical system without taking into account the interpreters is just a telephone number, if you want. So the most interesting part of the changes against La Roja was the introduction of Matias Vecino and Georgian de Arrascaeta to help Pedro Valverde and Nico de la Cruz in trying to supply Cavani and Suarez with goal-scoring opportunities. The first 20-25 minutes were actually good for Uruguay. We saw more mobility in attack, more attacking associations for the Celeste. De Arrascaeta had the freedom to move in the last third, and Vecino running into space coming from behind was also very important. The problem for Uruguay was that in their best moment of dominance, Chile scored. In their first incursion on Muslera's area, Vargas and Brereton combined very well for Vargas to score. From there, Chile, and particularly Arturo Vidal, started to dominate the game with the second consecutive loss inside. Tavares twisted again the shape for the second half when he introduced Martin Cáceres and Nathan Nández and took off the right back. And also he took off De La Cruz and went to defend with three at the back. And the presence of Nández offered the Charrúas maybe a little less clarity on the ball, but much more intensity. And also the introduction of Fernando Torres, the Peñarol player, gave another push on the right flank. And he was involved actually in the corner that ended with Arturo Vidal scoring his own goal, or actually the Suarez goal. But it was a bit, if you look at some places, they will give the goal to Suarez. I think the Copa America in the end gave it to Arturo Vidal as an own goal. Uruguay, the favorite here. I fancy them to take from where they left against Chile. I repeat that Moreno Martins being available, he will play even if he's not 100% physically. I am saying this because Uruguay to win, both teams to score. If Marcelo Moreno Martins plays his role, the market is at 2.2. A draw at halftime, if Bolivia gives the fight, I'm thinking you will give to the Charrúas, but Uruguay taking the 3 points at the final whistle with the market at 2.5 is also another thing to look at. A draw at halftime, but Uruguay taking the 3 points at the final whistle.
Okay, these are good odds actually. First time draw or Uruguay and both teams to score, because as we can see now, the odds are so low for Uruguay, and seeing the Asian handicap markets, we don't find really good odds if we fancy the victory for Uruguay. We have to go for Asian handicap -2 for finding odds 2.21. So they have to win for 3 goals margin. And we are not seeing this kind of results in the Copa America except with Brazil. Also, Uruguay is not a free flow football team right now. Or if you trust, for instance, Bolivia to keep it close, there we have good odds. We have Asian Handicap plus 1.5 for Bolivia, odds 2.23. That means that you win your bet if Bolivia draw, win the game, or they lose only for one goal. So that could be also a good option if you think the Bolivia team, they can put a fight to Uruguay and get something out of it, or even lose the game for one goal. Another options apart from what Leo just tipped them. The other game in this group is Chile-Paraguay. Chile, 5 points. Paraguay, 3. I think the best thing we can say about Chile right now, Leo, is that they are competitive again. You just mentioned how they suffered at the beginning of the game against Uruguay, but Vargas scored a very, very, very good goal. We've seen in this Copa America how they are getting the results, a draw with Argentina, a draw with Uruguay. They suffered against Bolivia, but they beat them. So again, this is a solid team with, of course, Vidal as the angular stone in that team. Whereas Paraguay, you mentioned in the last video how Toto Berizzo was very discussed in Asunción. They don't like his job, and probably they don't like it after the defeat against Argentina. It's normal that Paraguay can lose against Argentina, but they were way worse than the Argentinians, that probably deserve to win a bigger margin of goals. Now they have 3 points because they beat Bolivia. So they are in a good position actually to qualify for the next round. But here I would actually kind of fancy Chile. I don't know if you agree with me. We have high odds for both sides. Chile 2.48, Paraguay 3.7.
Yes, absolutely. And even
what do you fancy
Chile
here, Chile, Paraguay?
Chile, even though they are already qualified. My favorite for this match is definitely Chile. You know, I like the headline of one of the most important papers in Chile, which is La Tercera. After the 1-1 with Uruguay, they wrote, Chile resists hell against Uruguay and already looks to the quarterfinal. And I think that was a good kind of summary of what happened against Uruguay in terms of the Las Artes team. They not only secured a knockout spot, so they also, with the point against Uruguay, they left behind what happened in the team bubble, you know, with Medel, with Vidal and Aránguiz inviting a hairdresser to their room. So all that, I believe, is already behind after that 1-1 with Uruguay that took them already to the quarterfinal. Lasarte changed the shape. He didn't use 3 strikers and opted for 3 at the back, something that I believe will change again against Paraguay. I believe he's going to go to a more classical 4 at the back against Paraguay. The positive, Brereton and Vargas showing good understanding, Vidal being Vidal, as you mentioned before, but also the outstanding player against Uruguay, we could mention as well, Charles Aránguiz. The negative, Edu, the injuries. In the first half, it was Guillermo Maripán, then Vargas and Vidal, and finally Eric Pulgar. Actually, Pulgar and Maripán, for sure, they won't have a role against Paraguay. A Paraguay that, again, lost a match, in this case, against Argentina. Berizzo is under fire, again, as we mentioned in the last preview. They couldn't create absolutely anything in attack, neither with Avalos, neither with Oscar Romero coming in the second half. Was a very dull performance in attacking sense for Paraguay, but they're still alive because of that 51 against Bolivia in their opening game of this Copa America. As I said, Chile already qualified, is my favorite for this game, but because they already have a place in the quarterfinals, maybe that could take some steam out from them. So I expect the game anyway, with a narrow margin, I will look at goals under 2, with the market at 1.9.
Okay, so you don't expect both teams to score, that Ashley is asking us?
No, I could expect is something that could happen. I mean, Paraguay needs the point, so that will make them go for it, which is going to make them open up and give chances to Chile. But I'm not sure how much Chile will be interested in deploying a lot of power in attack at the same time, because, as I said, they're already qualified. But yes, having Vargas, Brereton, and all the players, as we mentioned before, they always have opportunities in front of goal, the Chileans. So yes, both teams scoring is something as well that we could look like. But the end result, the final result, is not going to be by a big margin. That's why I think a narrow margin for the final whistle.
Okay, we have both teams to score 2.10. If we fancy Chile, we know odds 2.45. If we fancy Chile, but be careful because there could be a draw, we can go for Asian handicap 0 for Chile. Odds are 1.65. Still kind of okay if we fancy La Roja to beat Paraguay. Then, Leo, thank you very much for analyzing with us. See you on Friday for the last match day in the group stages. And thanks, everyone, also for being with us. And remember, you can still comment in the video and get the chance to win this £10 free bet with Novibet and use it, for instance, to bet in this Copa America. And of course, if you like us, press the like button, subscribe to our channel, and click on the bell to get notifications. Thanks, everyone, and keep enjoying Copa America.